Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Friday, October 7th, 2022. Well, in our top story, President Joe Biden, the White House announced yesterday, pardoned all prior federal and D.C. offenses of simple marijuana possession. President Biden also called on governors to pardon simple state marijuana possession offenses. Additionally, President Biden asked Secretary Becerra and the Attorney General to initiate the process of reviewing how marijuana is scheduled under federal law. Marijuana is currently classified at the same level as heroin and above fentanyl. In Chicago news, mayoral candidate Dr. Willie Wilson is protesting what he states is discrimination by the Cook County Board of Election. There are many precincts that have been closed, and many voters may not find this out until Election Day. And he states that this could have an adverse impact on the voter turnout, especially for those seniors, disabled, many who don't have transportation that will take them from one location to the next if they find out on election day that their polling place has been changed. Dr. Willie Wilson has discussed a lawsuit against the Cook County Board of Election and has stated that many voters who often vote on election day do tend to be seniors and will therefore be unprepared to make this change if they have walked to what they thought was their regular polling place. Some people have received the changes, the new configuration of the ward as it has, the wards that have been remapped. And also many are concerned that there will not be enough time if they should decide that they are going to wait until election day to vote, and if they're going to discover that they, in fact, have reached a place that is no longer the polling place, if they're coming from work, they may not have a time to get to the polls before the polls close. Well, there we'll be joining Dr. Willie Wilson at his press conference in which he outlines some of his concerns and wanting citizens to be represented and feeling that other civil rights organizations ought to step up and take a stand for the voters of Chicago. Dr. Willie Wilson is one of a number of mayoral candidates who have begun the process of getting on the ballot. The mayoral election is not until the 2023 elections. And at this point, many of those who are on the ballot for this election may be affected. So we will join Dr. Willie Wilson as he speaks on what his concerns are regarding what appears to be voter suppression tactics of the Board of Elections.
I'm Attorney Richard Poink, and I'm here today on behalf of Dr. Willie Wilson, for mayor. And we come today to basically point out some issues regarding the Board of Elections. As you all know, Dr. Willie Wilson filed a lawsuit to stop the board from implementing a plan to cut 779 voter precincts, many of those precincts polling stations. The board has released its list of polling stations, and in fact, they made no changes since we held the press conference in August. They've gone through and actually decided to close a number of polling stations. As a result of that, there's going to be mass confusion for voters. They won't know which polling station to go to and vote, and so that may cause disenfranchisement. In addition to that, thanks to the good work of the Chicago Tribune, we noticed that they actually made sure that a number of these polling stations in the wards actually were not accessible for people with disabilities. In fact, during the last election, they had about 20% that were accessible for people with disabilities. Now, that number goes to 10% or below. But in 14 of the 50 wards, zero polling stations are inaccessible for people with disabilities. That is not right. Dr. Wilson says that that violates the 2017 agreement that was entered into between the Board of Election and the U.S. Attorney's Office through a Department of Justice lawsuit. With that being said, I'll turn things over now to the next mayor of Chicago, Dr. Willie Wilson.
Okay. I think that it's important that the citizens of Chicago know this, and that is the Board of Elections get their sources of funds from the mayor of Chicago and City Council. If they really wanted to stop this, mayor could take them and City Council could hold funding from the Board of Elections to happen. This is 2022. It kind of takes us back into the 1960s. As I and everybody else, particularly the mayor herself, and also the other different community organizations, is not raising a fan about this whole situation. People have died to have a right to cast a vote. You know, people have went to jail, prison, for a right to vote. In fact, most of particular the minority out here is the one that is deprived from having been able to vote. As you know, my background is back in 1960, so we could vote. That was up. We fought, marched, did everything. We could not vote. You know, my days back in the old days, and it's really disturbing to me to see this. Now, again, if it were down in Georgia, was going right now, the Republican, but the Democrat, they'd be raising a lot of sand about this whole situation. President of the United States talked about voting in Georgia and different places, states around the United States, being able to deal with this whole situation of voters registration and voters. Now, this is a Democratic town. It is going to frustrate people trying to get to the poll and find out that they cannot vote at the place they move to another location. People will cheer. Senior citizens don't have money. Are they going to be able to catch a bus or banana on state income. You know, all of you have been deprived of such a thing. And by the way, this is bigger than the mayor office. This is bigger than all of us. You know, this is a person to me. I would be doing the same thing if I was not running for mayor. I'd be saying the same thing today. You know, look, we ought to take and consider if we want to do this, do it in April, May during the summertime when there is no election period. You know, nobody's raising a hand about that. It's delaying it. You know, we'll reach out and we'll talk to all the different organizations, of civil rights organizations. And we'll very appreciative of the news media, particularly here, the Tribune and the other people here making this shed light on this right here. This is just not about black and brown people. It's about white, you know, Latino, you know, Asian American and other America. It's this whole thing. You know, it's about the women's rights. You know, I mean, a while back, women couldn't even vote. You know, whether you're a white, black, whatever it is, women could not vote. You know. So it's important that this year, that we can put a stop to it some kind of way. We're looking forward for hoping that we get a date that we can go to court and let the judge make a decision this year to delay it and push it into an off election year to make this happen. So that's where we stand at right now today. I would love to have seen a lot more people involved, a lot more organization that's involved about this. This is a civil rights issue. You know, but so we keep on pushing on and hopefully that we can get in court soon before the election. Now, some people have got their car already by their new voting area. I've not got mine yet. I've not got mine. Car. Where should I vote at?
Wow.
Yeah. Have I got it? Yeah. So if I have not got it, especially people who run for office right now in November, which I believe is like 30 days, so fuck you. Alright? So if you don't get the car, and you also know that the mail service is very slow. I can drop a letter into the box downstairs to the north side of Chicago, it'll take 3 weeks to get that mail.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but I've not gotten it. Yeah. A lot of other people probably the same situation I'm in. But they don't get up on November 9th or 8th, whichever one it is, head to the polls thinking that they're same voting area they met before. And by there are none. And then, so they don't get there. And there, some will walk, and some will go, some don't have the money and things of that nature. It's going to be disappointing. And they're going to say, well, I don't have enough money to get to the other place. If they get to the other place, you have a long line, so they're going to discourage them, you know, to do something there. So let's hope and pray that we can get this thing resolved. But again, I want to remind everybody that this rest at the first step, who has the budget, from the mayor and city council. So, thank you again, and if you have a question I'd like to ask, please do so.
So, you mentioned the mayor has control of this budget, so in your opinion, what should employers have done differently for this implementation to go through? Given that there are a few competing goals, they have a new war map that we have to abide by, and you know, the Board of Elections has mentioned that you know, they were kind of working with two conflicting goals, one of which keeping one that's the same, that are recognizable, and hitting other metrics like ADA compliance. So, you know, what should the mayor have done differently?
Well, first of all, I'm going to back up in here because I think there was a lawsuit, I believe, from the federal government, like the Disability Act, which is here already, I think it was back in 2017, you know, we're involved in this year. Yeah. Right here. But as related to this is in my nation, right here. The mayor is in my nation. But really, after the minister spoke out about it, and but she spoke out on other things. The budget that they're coming up to do, I believe, next week or week after next, something like that. If she could stop the funding of this situation and get some attention that they can make and say, hey, we're not going to fund the board of election until this gets resolved, because it's allowed the people an opportunity to get to the polls and to cast their ballot. You know, I don't quite understand why would that be so. You know, why would the mayor not exercise the right of the citizens to do that, nor the city council also. But if you're in charge of something, if you make it happen, especially when you see it wrong, you fight like I'm doing. I'm out here fighting for it. Do the right of my grandfather. All of them. I'm the first generation ever born in my family. Mother, father, grandfather, uncle. I'm the first generation in my family that ever voted. The first one. I think that's the third. So when things happen this way, somebody needs to get up and do something.
And that was Dr. Willie Wilson at a press conference yesterday, in which he accused the Cook County Board of Elections of closing precincts so close to the upcoming election that many voters may find themselves disenfranchised. He continues to pursue a lawsuit to stop this action in order to protect the rights of the voters. And we'll continue to bring you more on the upcoming election across the nation and in your city. In Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker has announced a program, and for many in Illinois that are seeking ways to benefit from what is happening across the state, they're looking for Governor Pritzker to be able to make things happen. Well, Governor Pritzker announced a $119 million investment in Western Illinois University, and this funding supports the construction of a new Center for Performing Arts. In Macomb, Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced today that he's joining state and local officials, and their announcement to invest $119 million for the construction of a Center for the Performing Arts. The Center for Performing Arts, CPA, at Western Illinois University will be receiving funding made possible by the governor's historic bipartisan Rebuild Illinois Capital Plan. The new Center for Performing Arts will support the academic mission and programs of the WIU College of Fine Arts and Communication, and it will serve as a cultural and performing arts destination for the campus community, the city of Macomb, and the entire Western Illinois region, said Governor J.B. Pritzker today. For nearly 50 years, Western Illinois waited for state government to fund a new facility, while unmet opportunities piled up and potential innovation fell by the wayside. He added, "Today I am proud to announce an investment of $119 million for a new, best-in-class Center for Performing Arts here at Western Illinois University. It's projects like these that prove Illinois is no longer defined by its fiscal woes, but by its determination to invest in its people. That's what has always made this the greatest state in the nation, our people. And Western Illinois University is on the forefront of our renaissance as a state. Once completed, the 1,000-square-foot building will boast classrooms, offices, practice rooms, studios, and significant performance space to support the interdisciplinary efforts of Western Illinois University students. The Great Hall, an 850-seat proscenium theater, will provide state-of-the-art performance space for music, theater, and dance productions, as well as regional and national touring performances. The smaller Black Box Theater will provide a more intimate space for campus productions. Construction is slated to begin in 2022. Western Illinois University President Gayu Huang said, "We appreciate Governor J.B. Pritzker, Deputy Governor for Education Martin Torres, the General Assembly, and the Capital Development Board for continuing to move forward on this much-anticipated iconic center for performing arts." Western Illinois University President Huang continued, "We look forward to watching the building construction progress and anxiously await the day we can celebrate its grand opening. The Center for Performing Arts will enhance Western's academic distinction and provide our region with state-of-the-art music, dance, and theater facilities. This is a true investment for WIU and Western Central Illinois. Once again, we extend our gratitude to the governor, the CDB, our legislators, businesses, alumni, friends, and donors for their dedication to this project. The WIU Center for Performing Arts will be a state-of-the-art facility for our students and community," said State Representative Noreen Hammond of Republican from Macomb. She said, "It will provide not only a top-notch performance space for music, theater, and the arts, but it will also serve as an economic engine for our region, bringing touring groups and patrons to the arts of Macomb. This project has been a long time coming, and I am thrilled that it is finally coming to fruition. I'm excited to be here today for the groundbreaking of this outstanding new facility, and I want to thank everyone who has put so much time and effort into seeing this center become a reality," said State Senator Jill Tracy, Republican from Quincy. She said, "The Western Illinois University Center for Performing Arts has been a dream in the making for many years. This massive project has been a long time coming, and it reflects the efforts of a number of government officials, local leaders, and private citizens. And it will be worth the wait. The new state-of-the-art facilities will enhance performing arts education programs and studies in all academic disciplines, as well as boost entertainment and educational opportunities for residents of West Central Illinois and beyond." And that was from the governor's office today. World Chicago is excited to host another open world delegation this fall. World Chicago announced that this November, in partnership with the Congressional Office for International Leadership, they will be welcoming 6 professionals from Poland that will be meeting with Chicago resources to discuss the theme of crisis management for humanitarian aid and emergency preparedness. The homestay will be from November 11th to November 19th, 2022. Homestay hosts may host 1 or 2 guests, but separate bedrooms for each guest are required. Hosts will also have to stay at the residence while guests are in town. All visitors are vaccinated and will be wearing masks and socially distancing when appropriate. If you are interested or would like to know more information about welcoming these global guests into your home, please contact World Chicago Program Associate Julia Sosnivka at jsosnivka at worldchicago.org. That is J-S-O-S-N-I-V-K-A, jsosnivka at worldchicago, that's W-R-L-D-C-H-I-C-A-G-O, .org. Again, that is the World Chicago Program Associate, Julia Sosnivka, at J-S-O-S-N-I-V-K-A at W-R-L-D-C-H-I-C-A-G-O .org. Will the Greater Chatham Initiative is presenting Food Truck Saturdays at the Mahalia Jackson Court located at 1 East 79th Street in Chicago, Illinois. And this, kicking off for October, will occur on October 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th from 11:30 Central Time to 2:30 p.m. Central Time. And the Mahalia Jackson Court is a place for food, fun, family, and music, serving tacos, barbecue, shrimp, burgers, and more. Food Truck Saturdays will take place every Saturday during the month of October, and that will be starting this Saturday, October 8th. The family-friendly event will feature food, fun, and music, the Love Juice Company, Harris Gulf Shrimp, 191 Ribs, and TJ's will be the trucks on site, serving up tacos, barbecue, shrimp baskets, burgers, and more. The Mahalia Jackson Court was created through a partnership between the Greater Chatham Initiative and Carter Temple CME Church. The Mahalia Jackson Court honors the singer for her contributions to gospel music, civil rights, and popular culture. As a Southside resident and community native, Mahalia Jackson represents a beacon of hope and an example of the greatness that Black Chicago produces. The Greater Chatham Initiative is an organization charged with developing and driving the implementation of a comprehensive strategy to revitalize the Chatham, Auburn, Gresham, Avalon Park, and Greater Grand Crossing neighborhoods on Chicago's South Side. And this report was brought to us by the Bean Soup Times. Well, that is all for today. And we invite you to join us every day on air daily news, Monday through Friday. And 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Central Time, of course, 2 o'clock to 2:30 Eastern Time, but wherever you are, adjust your time so that you can join us for our live news reports and call in with your good news at 515-605-9749. That's 515-605-9749. Call in and give us your thoughts as we give you the latest news affecting your city, the nation, and the world. What are your thoughts on the upcoming election? Are you registered to vote? And do you know the candidates? Think about that. We'll be back again on Monday at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And as always, you can reach us at www.blogtalkradio.com/onairdailynews. Until next week, enjoy the rest of your day.